From the moment you wake up and pretty quickly you'll have a thought. And if you start noticing what that thought is and then deciding what emotion you want to put to it, that's called self-command. And that's what I do.
What if I was to tell you that all of the stress we feel in our lives is caused by the inner saboteur voices and our own negative thinking? What if I also told you that our own intentionally trained positive mindset actually cultivates our sense of peace, satisfaction, ease, and flow? While many of us know that our own mind can have a massive impact on how we feel at any given time on any given day, the question clearly begs, how can we intentionally train our minds to think positively to avoid self-sabotaging how we feel and in turn, how we show up for others in our lives each and every day? Today, we welcome Diane Nelson onto the Canadian Wealth Secrets podcast to help explain how we can all train our minds to think positively in three simple, but not always easy, steps. Whether you're an entrepreneur, business owner, investor, or employee, you're going to want to stick around as Diane takes us on a journey to strengthening our mindsets so we can accomplish amazing goals in our personal and professional lives. Here we go. Welcome to the Canadian Wealth Secrets Podcast with Kyle Pierce and John Orr.
We are recovering high school mathematics teachers and education consultants whose entrepreneurial spirit led us to begin multiple businesses in real estate investing, digital courses, and coaching and consulting after the bell rang at Dismissal Tech.
Fast forward a decade later where we've grown our portfolios and our time freedom to the point where we can now help entrepreneurs, business owners, and investors just like you to grow their wealth into a legacy that lasts generations through hidden investment and tax secrets your financial advisors won't believe are true. All right, Canadian Wealth Secrets Seekers, here's Diane. Well, welcome to the Canadian Wealth Secrets Podcast, Diane. We are super excited to have you here. Folks may quickly recognize that someone else that's usually here, John, is not here with us today, sadly, but that just means I get to ask you all of my questions and I don't have to sit waiting back for John's questions that I'm not interested in learning about. So it's going to be all about learning for me. And we're going to be digging into some of the great ideas that you have to share here with the wealth secret seekers out there. Diane, welcome to the show. Give the audience just a little snippet into your world. Who is Diane Nelson? Where are you coming to us from? And what are you focusing on these days in this world?
Okay, well, you're asked all kinds of things in that, but thank you for inviting me, Kyle. That's wonderful. And you and I met not too long ago and exchanged some great ideas, and we felt like we had some energy behind our thoughts. So very briefly, a coach, trainer, consultant. I have worked in the not-for-profit sector for many, many years. I'm currently stationed, shall I call it, in Waterloo, Ontario. But I like to describe myself as somebody with no fixed address because I live full-time in an RV. And so my life path or my yearly path is 10 months in Waterloo, 2 months traveling about, typically as a house sitter. So I sit pets for other people as they travel, and I get to feel what it's like to live in their shoes for a while.
I love it. I love it. That's such an awesome picture. And I think it almost gives us a little bit of a glimpse into some of what we're going to be talking about, which really comes down to this big thing in our head called our brain, our minds, and really getting into trying to, I think, understand what's going on up there. One thing that really made me think about why you could be a good fit for our audience was as business owners, as entrepreneurs, as investors, we are doing a lot of, we'll call it work on our own. We're doing a lot of things. We have to do a lot of decision-making on our own. Myself, I'm lucky. I have some business partners that I work very closely with. And I'll be honest and say for those solopreneurs that are out there, you have basically you and your brain to work with, you and your mind to work with. Maybe you're lucky enough to have maybe a spouse or a partner that you can bounce ideas off of, or maybe some sort of mentorship group. But the reality is that it can be very difficult when we're making tough decisions in the world of business and investing in order to actually take action, or maybe hold back from taking action in certain respects. And the piece that pops into my mind when I think about the work you do in mentorship and coaching and counseling, maybe we can even talk a little bit about that, some of those differences, is that you help people kind of work through what do they really want. So I'm wondering, can you kind of set the stage for us a little bit here today? What would you say that you're helping most of your clients with when they come to you and seek some of your assistance in terms of their own personal or business world?
Okay. So let me just add on to the examples you used with the solo entrepreneurship or small business owners and founders. I primarily, not exclusive, but primarily work with leaders of teams. So they are in organizations, so they're not entrepreneurial per se. But the common path is that leaders are often very much on their own. They have to deal with their own stuff, support their team, as well as then respond to and support senior leadership. So it can also be a very lonely place being that mid-level leader. So there's a lot of commonality with who I connect with and who you connect with. And so on that piece about the loneliness or being alone is we are with our own thoughts all of the time. And typically, I think people don't recognize how much input our mind is giving us and the input that isn't always very productive. So later on, I'll talk a little bit more about my path and how I came to it. But, oh, by the way, I attempted to come up with a math formula. Now, you might tell me it's not math, but it's kind of a formula. What happens in our mind is we have a thought. Thoughts bubble up all the time. So a thought, and then it attaches to emotion. So we have an emotion about that thought, whether we feel good about it or stressed about it or angry about it. And then so thought plus the emotion then gets translated out through energy as a feeling. So positive or negative feeling. And then that impacts how we show up with people, what our personal reality, our personality, and how we impact others through connecting, through conversation with others. So the thought and emotion travel very quickly and have impact on everybody around us. Very quickly. And if we're not aware of that thought, beginning thought, it can run amok so fast. And awareness sounds like a simple concept, but it's harder than you think to get a hold of.
I bet. It's interesting because I always like to say the voice in your mind is always giving you bad advice, right? And always is the wrong word. It's not always, but it's quite often. It's making you doubt. It's making you think differently. But also what I'm hearing from you is this idea of noticing and naming the thought you have prior to it sort of being attached to that emotion is probably a really important skill to be developing. And I'm sure it takes time, like anything, right? Where it's like, wait a second, some people might be listening and saying, does that really happen with me? But in reality, it really does, right? You have this thought, and then it immediately, sometimes it's a good thought. And when we say good thought, that means I felt good when I thought about it, right? There's that emotion. And it's probably a bit of both. If we feel too positively or too much positivity about an emotion, maybe it might influence me to do something in a way. Or if I feel maybe negatively about it, that might also impact sort of how I come and sort of interact with the outside world. So I'm wondering, how would you say that leaders and again, entrepreneurs being a solopreneur, but you're leading this ship, maybe it's less people, but you are being a leader and you're sort of making me recognize it's like, even if you're in a large organization, you're leading. And I might argue that now you almost have this additional pressure on yourself. You feel like eyes are on you because you're supposed to be in charge. You're supposed to be a leader. What are some of the common maybe struggles that some of the clients, the leaders that you're working with are actually facing in terms of doing this process, noticing and naming those thoughts and sort of doing something more positively about it.
And it's not just people that I work with. I would say it is all of humanity. And that thought, just to backtrack a little bit on what you said, from the moment you wake up and pretty quickly you'll have a thought. And if you start noticing what that thought is and then deciding what emotion you want to put to it, that's called self-command. And that's what I do with clients, is help people get right at the beginning of their day or at any interaction thereafter, any interaction of what is the thought, and to make sure to decide and choose upon the emotion. If you don't choose and be selecting what is going to be best for the situation, what's going to be best for you, then our default patterns kick in. And we all have default patterns. And in fact, it's been analyzed through many, many assessments that there are 9 voices. I'll just give a few. And they're described kind of like a profile version of a trait, but I think you'll recognize them. And entrepreneurs, most entrepreneurs have this first one, hyperachiever. Hyperachievers, they want the next thing. And as soon as they get that next thing, dulls in comparison by what else they want. So it's a constant striving and going for more and more and more. Some other examples are a restless nature. Sometimes entrepreneurs have this restless nature. They see the shiny object and, oh, I'm going to go that direction. And then they get there, or they start to get there, and maybe something else comes up and they go another direction. There's a hyper-rational, someone who, and you might find more of this in your field, default pattern that has, well, what are the facts and figures? Just give me the facts and figures. The decision will be clear, without any recognition of the emotional side or human interaction side that might be important in making a decision. Controller, also very common among financial people, is needing to control outcomes, and there has to be a particular way and be in charge of that, because if they let go of control, things would run amok. And so there's a need to control. Or stickler, to have things done in a particular order, particular manner. So these are just a few examples. There are 9 in total, and these are patterns. Now, as I say them, and I was probably describing them in a way that people might wonder, well, are those good things or bad things? Because hyperachiever sounds pretty positive. So it's like anything, any strength. It is a strength until it gets overused or used in the wrong way, or to the exclusion of other things. So a funny example might be is hammers are great when you have nails, but they're pretty useless if you have a screw, or pretty useless if you're trying to paint a landscape. It is a strength. So it's trick, or the process is to recognize when you're using these default patterns, thought patterns as strengths, and when they tip over and they're not a strength anymore. So that's where it takes some self-awareness. And if I use myself as an example, as I do in all of my work, this is when I first went down this path to understanding these voices, I was quite critical. I said, no, that's not me. That's not me. Because there's an assessment you can take, and it's, you know, a 10-minute assessment, and it spits out this idea of what are your top voices, your habits of thought, I like to describe them. And I agreed with the hyperachiever, but I didn't really agree with anything else. And then over time, I started to recognize, oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, yeah, I see how that gets me into trouble. So then it's like shining a light into the brain, into myself. And I've spent a career in counseling and helping people. I do this for a living. And still, this was a big eye-opener to me. And now that I see those patterns, now I can do something about them. When you don't know they're there, you can't do anything about them. It's when you recognize, now you can really bite in and redirect and take control of the emotion that you want to attach to the thought, or whether you choose the thought at all. Our brain does come up with all kinds of thoughts, but unfortunately, it really is quite a habit creator. The brain does a lot of habit stuff because that's the most economical use of the resource. You know, your brain uses 20% of your energy. So if it recognizes any kind of pattern, if you wake up in the morning and you start being concerned about the weather and how you're going to maneuver the drive to work, then it's going to give you that every single day. And that just takes up space in your brain for nothing, right?
This is really fascinating. And there's so many connections hearing you speak, and I haven't heard it described as you have. So I really appreciate it, even if it's selfishly so. I'm picturing some listeners are also either, if they've done some reading, you talked about this idea of habits and that quick thinking part of our brain, you know, those two systems. It's like that quick thinking part of the brain wants to run with it. It's like, I want to just take what's easy and I'm just going to take you to the promised land. And that's the connection I'm making to these habits of thought that we tend to have. And the reality is like, we can look at it a couple of different ways. Like one way, if we want to be, you know, essentially the ignorant approach, right? And not saying that rudely, but the way to go, hey, listen, I got this far and my habits of thought have got me here. That's fine. But the reality is, I think, is if we ever feel or have felt that things haven't worked out the way we wanted them to when it comes to how we're feeling, how we're thinking, then it's probably a worthwhile exercise. And maybe some people have gone through with habits of thought that have sort of managed to serve them fairly well, but again, probably not perfectly, right? So there's always opportunities for improvement. And then I can't help but think about some folks who have developed habits of thought, be it through experience, be it through whatever, like anything, trauma, there's all kinds of things that could happen that probably kind of etch these habits into your mind. And whether you're sort of, hey, I'm lucky I made it to here and I'm doing okay, or whether you are maybe not on a great path and you feel like I'm not feeling positive much of the time, or I'm not feeling at least calm and neutral, I'm always feeling something, I feel like this work could certainly be helpful for us to start recognizing whether it's uncomfortable or not. Because I'm going to guess that most people, when they think of these nine voices, I know you've only highlighted some of those, most people are probably going to really like the ones that sound positive out of the box, but then maybe don't want to do the thinking required to go like, okay, at what point does it actually become more of a hindrance in certain situations than a help? So where would you begin? Like, let's pretend I'm the leader you're working with. What sort of, I guess, activities would we do to try to identify? Is it something that you can notice and name because you're so well versed in it? Or is it something that only the individual sort of needs to kind of work through and really think through? I'm always very curious about that.
Let me just go back a little bit or draw a picture. I like talking in pictures. And I think this applies to everybody. I'd be happy to hear the exceptions to this, but I think everybody, when they're quiet and alone with themselves, can recognize that no matter what success they've experienced, they would like a little bit more, or they would like it in other capacities. I think it's our human journey to always be getting a little more clarity, you know, rubbing the fog off the mirror just a little bit more. So the image I've used for myself and therefore for my business and how I connect with people is that, like, my particular path was when I started my career, it was a fairly quick spiral up, learning and advancing. And as time goes by, that circle gets a little wider, but it's still going upward in the sense of I'm learning. And now that maybe it's not so much of a straight, tight line, but more of a bigger circle. So it's a broader learning and exploring in different paths and things that are new and new ideas. One time in my life, I thought, I think I know everything I need to know to do the work I'm doing. And then, boom, something new came in. And I went, oh, there's a whole new sector I didn't know anything about. Great. So much more.
That's like wisdom, true wisdom, when you start to recognize that, you know, there's more to this, whatever the topic is, than I thought.
Yes, yes. And now let me attach the other part of what I do and is so critical for leaders, critical for anybody who interacts with humans, therefore the earth, is while we have these thoughts and patterns of behavior that can be routinized, can be strengths, can be weaknesses, that stuff, that energy that goes on in the mind radiates out. So from a business owner, it's how we connect with people, be it customers, be it our own team, be it with suppliers, whomever. What's going on in the mind pattern is going to impact other people. So getting a hold of that, getting to a real crystal clear understanding of what the pattern is, and then choosing the preferred pattern, choosing the preferred way, and then making sure that that communication with whomever, customers, suppliers, colleagues, that it lands in the way that you want. Because the common thing for communicators is we tend to think people understand the way we're meaning. So we say something, we get a point across, and I'm assuming you understand exactly what I'm saying. Ha! You're probably not, because you're processing the words I use, the way I'm describing it, based on your own experiences. And they are different. You are different than me. So in order to make sure that the communication is really clear, I would need to stop and ask you some questions. How did you understand what I just said? Give me an example so that I know that you're on the same path as I'm saying. So this is what happens for leaders. We make assumptions because we get in a hurry, because we need to move on sometimes. We need to just go fast, and we miss the questioning and clarifying. Are we truly on the same page? Are we truly saying, are you receiving it the way I'm meaning it to be understood? That's the work primarily that I do with leaders.
Hey there, Canadian Wealth Secret Seekers. If you are an incorporated business owner who wants some clarity around how your corporation can provide you a better option for tax sheltering than the RRSPs that you've been socking away, we should chat. For those whose annual retained earnings are significant, we have some even more beneficial, unique, and compliant strategies to supercharge your personal income while growing your net worth at the very same time. Learn more on a quick discovery call by visiting CanadianWealthSecrets.com/discovery. That's CanadianWealthSecrets.com/discovery to book a short call to speak with us today.
It's so fascinating because what I'm hearing you say, and I'm sort of reflecting on just this past week even. And I like to think that I've done a lot of work in trying to become a better listener. So to try to understand what someone's saying or what they might be meaning. But the part that is really interesting is that while I've done a lot of work there, of course, no one is ever an expert, right? You continue to build and refine these skills. The area I don't think I've spent enough attention on, or maybe any attention on, is actually thinking of my own thoughts and trying to understand what do I mean, right? And I think we've all been there. And I actually had a conversation this week with a partner. And what I came to realize is that they weren't understanding what I was saying, because actually I didn't understand what I wanted to say yet either. And I've got to assume that some of this, of course, like communication's the way it comes out, but if I haven't processed the thoughts and how it's making me feel and how all of those things, I'm sure that that has to have some sort of influence on, again, how I'm speaking to others, how I'm expressing my feelings instead of my thoughts, right? And maybe, I don't know if you can speak to that. It's like when your feelings come out of your mouth instead of your true thoughts coming out of your mouth. When we talk about what you're really wanting, instead, you're talking about how it made you feel instead. I don't know if I'm on a random tangent there, but it certainly jumped out at me anyway.
Perhaps what I'm hearing is an extroversion trait. So an extrovert tends to process thoughts out loud. So if I just take the extremes, okay, most of us fall somewhere in the middle between extrovert and introvert, but I fall on the introvert side. So I'm figuring out what I want to say before I say it. Extroverts start speaking, and by the end of their sentence, they kind of figured out what they wanted to say. So something the way you described maybe is, it's okay. That's the way you're wired. It's okay. But maybe a bit of a forewarning to people who are listening is, give me a minute while I work all this out. I'll get to my point and I'll find out if I agree with my own point when I get to the end of this.
I love that. You just painted a clear picture of the thought I was having earlier this week is exactly that. It was like by the end of the conversation, I was now clear. And I sort of wish I could go, you know what? Can we just hit cut on that whole session we just had? And can I just start it over? And then meanwhile, John is more of an introvert, our co-host. He thinks things through. And so you just nailed me right there. So does that change when it comes to how we can do some of the work that you're describing here? Is there something that, say, an extrovert, someone who's more on the extrovert side of the spectrum like myself, to work that through? Prior, was it just closing the door in a room by myself and talking it out at the mirror? Or is there something else I could be doing to help myself get better at this skill?
The thing with the extrovert and introversion, that we're rather hardwired. There are the five big personality traits. This is one of them. We're hardwired. I wouldn't put a lot of energy in trying to become an introvert. It wouldn't be worth the effort.
Oh, for you. I haven't wasted my time then. Just no. Haven't put any thought into it. But I was like, maybe I should be. I'm not sure.
No. And thank goodness we're not all introverts. Thank goodness we're not all extroverts. Amen to that. But it's the awareness. So between you and John, so that would be like a team exercise I might work with you on, is that you recognize that that's how you are, and helping John to understand that he just needs to be patient while you work that through. Because for introverts, we tend to think, oh my God, when is he going to stop talking?
He'd be laughing if he was here right now, because he has to deal with that every day.
So what I've learned being an introvert is it doesn't irritate me when people are doing that. I appreciate now that they're just going to take their time working it through, and I will be patient and wait. And then when you get to the end, then I can start asking questions to kind of narrow it in, and that's okay. Now for an extrovert, you get frustrated with the silence or the, okay, what is your opinion? Like, out with it, please. Whereas we tend to take more time processing to come up with that. But when we do, it's there. So it's just recognizing the difference. And when you, that's the thing with communication between people, is that you have these kinds of conversations, particularly if you're partners or if you're a team leader and team member, understanding that that's what it is and being aware of it.
So what I, at least in this moment, am sort of taking from that, and of course, I'll need more time to talk it out before I really know, but my thought is that this idea of noticing and naming your thoughts, regardless of whether you're introvert, extrovert, whether you're somewhere in the middle, that part actually isn't really impacting this work that you're describing, right? And that you have to sort of be able to notice and name those thoughts so that you could then decide which sort of emotion you attach, if any, to those thoughts. So if John is sitting there waiting for me to be done rambling, in his mind, he's probably thinking through his thoughts, going, okay, here's what I think is happening. And how am I going to handle that? That's going to be probably, as he strengthens that skill, he'll be able to then have a better response at the end to work from where I leave it off after rambling or whatever it might be.
It's all good rambling. Don't name yourself as being that it's a bad way. It's a perfectly healthy, normal way. Just recognize that it's your delivery system. It's your thought delivery system. But you're right. The thought patterns are the thing that happens before that you want to understand and know, because it's how you're driven. Are you driven to a negative side versus a positive side, and what style? I just want to comment. We are zigzagging a wee bit, but comment about the other thing that is so common when we are in communication with others. So we tend not to be comfortable with silence. And as a result, we are, all of us, I would say, are forming our response before the other person has finished speaking. Now, that's a common thing. I think it's because we're uncomfortable with silence. Now, introverts, slightly less uncomfortable with silence, but still we are. So the idea is that when you're in communication with a client, a customer, a potential, is to allow them to finish their thought before you form any kind of response. That's the trick. I was just doing a webinar earlier this week, and I call this my three-step process. Mindset, getting mindset clear, then the skill set, and then match set. So we talked a little bit about mindset, and I'd be happy to dig into those thought patterns more if you want. But the skill set is to ask questions, listen without any anticipation of what the answer is, without forming any kind of opinion, and ask more questions, then reflect or reframe what they've said to make sure that you're understanding what they've said. So you paraphrase it back. Is this what you're saying? Is this what I'm, you know, am I understanding this correctly? So the process of listening is really a back and forth in asking questions before making any kind of statements or any kind of providing your opinion. And that's the part that we shorten. Most of us just shorten that. And I asked people on this webinar, I said, when was the last time that you had a conversation where you felt heard, understood, and appreciated for your ideas? And of course, it was silence, because it's not very common. Typically, if you stop and listen to conversations you're in, it's a lot of two monologues. Somebody says this, then the person says, well, this is what it is like for me. Well, that's my experience, and this is how this, you know, it's two monologues, as opposed to somebody responding with, tell me more about what you mean by that. Help me understand how you, when you said that feeling, what does that feel like for you? Or what was your thought about that? Or how did you come up with that? Any kind of question to dig deeper for a fuller understanding. That's how you get true connection with people, as to help when they feel that you listen, understood, and appreciated. Doesn't mean you agree. Doesn't mean you have complete synergy and understanding, but that you've heard to the end.
I was trying to practice that as you were speaking, and I noticed, especially in this sort of environment where interviewing a guest, where you tend to be trying to think of the next question. But then, I mean, that obviously could potentially hinder the interview, because now you may be going off on a sort of a different tangent when there was a much better question that could have been formed from what you had shared. And
it's very tricky in an interview style.
Sure. But I mean, it's becoming very clear to me in this moment about those three ideas. So I want to make sure that I understood. So here, I'm going to practice a little bit. I want to paraphrase back what I heard to you, because I think these three sets, I'll call them, is really helpful. So you had talked about the mindset. So we're talking about, again, that clarity mindset.
That conversation. Yeah.
Yes. Making sure that that is in line. That is a lot of work in and of itself that we need to continue working through. The skill set piece was the asking of questions, listening without forming any sort of opinion until the speaker is finished. And then the part that I want to just make sure that I'm clear on is that when you talked about the paraphrasing back, is that the match set portion? So you're just making sure that what I think I heard matches what you're saying. And then would that just be iterative, I suppose, where you kind of head back through the loop as you gain more, you know, depth, or is it more of a asking more questions, making sure it matches, asking more questions? What does that look like, I suppose, in practice?
So I haven't gotten to the match set yet. The paraphrasing back is still the part of the conversation where you're being sure that you're really connecting and understanding. The match set particularly comes, again, I was going to use my examples around leaders and team members, but it also applies to a salesperson and their prospect, potential client, or an ongoing client for that matter, is, okay, now that I fully understand your situation and I've confirmed with you that I've understood your situation, The match set is now where you express your perspective, your understanding. And now that both people have been able to express, now what are we going to do? What's the plan going forward? If it's a leader and team member, perhaps it's what's your next steps around this project? What's going to happen and when's it going to happen? Some qualitative and quantitative expectations. So a clear steps forward. The reason why this is really important for leaders to appreciate is that I think leaders get a bit frustrated with it, that they have to spend this time in conversation. They want to be sure that there's going to be action taken in an agreed upon method. So that's the match set part. Now, if I talk about it in terms of customers, so I can imagine you're meeting with people, making financial plans with them. You really need to understand what their objectives and desires are for their life. You've got to hear it all out. But then you've got some things to share, and that might adjust their pattern or might be a short-term plan or a long-term plan. So then you have to get to the point of taking what you've learned from them, taking what you're able to give, and making a plan that you both agree that we're going to review and confirm that this is the direction we're going. For as long as that plan makes sense, adjusting along the way, but the match set is that you both leave the conversation with knowing what's coming next and when.
I love that. In business and in, I think the larger the organization, the more the clarity sort of disappears, right? Where people are, sometimes there's random goals set. Maybe we think there's clarity around what that goal might mean, or maybe the goal is too large. And it's like, what are the intermediary goals that we're going to need to actually achieve in order to get us closer? So this idea, and I can imagine that if you're working in a space, be it, again, like you had said, someone with a client, individual client, to ensure that, hey, we're both heading in the same direction. And I hear what your needs are, what your dream outcome is. And I now believe that I truly understand what that is because I've gone through and made sure to ask those questions, listen, paraphrase. And then now we can kind of together decide on, hey, are these next steps, do they make sense? Then you look at the larger organizations and you think about people working within an organization. You have to, I'm sure there's lots of statistics around people wanting ownership, right? They want ownership of the work they're doing. I have to assume that if we're engaging in this process more so with different employees, different levels of employees, that we're going to get better results, even though it might feel maybe harder or maybe it takes more time and effort. The payoff feels like it's probably much more significant as well in the long run.
Yeah. There's a parallel to safety practices. It does cost money for companies to make sure that their safety practices are in place. But if they don't do them, the cost of an accident is far more. I think it's pretty similar to a leader spending some time upfront with each of their team members to take extra time in clarifying and making sure that they understand each other when they speak and describe things so that those steps towards action and completing projects goes faster. Because if you go weeks thinking that you've been clear, thinking that there's been an agreement, and you find 2 weeks later that it's gone off the track somewhere, well, now you've wasted 2 weeks as opposed to wasting a half hour. Spend the time up front to save the time going forward.
Going back to mindset, having a mindset that this work is important work is obviously key, right? For someone to be able to go, okay, it is worth the investment because of what will come from it. And sometimes I think that immediate gratification that we all seem to enjoy can be really tough, right? So you think about the hard work we need to put in. I'm wondering, because I want to be respectful of your time here today, and I feel like there's so many more questions I have, but one thing I would want to know if I'm a listener right now, I'm now clearly, I think if I'm listening to this podcast, I'm going, okay, this is important work to be done. What would you say is sort of like a good first step for someone who's listening, who maybe they knew that there's work to be done around mindset and around their thinking, right? I think a lot of people do, they're aware that this is important, but may not have done anything intentional about it. Do you have any sort of, we'll say, starting points that you might point people to so they can begin this journey, which I'm going to guess is a lifelong journey, right? It's never going to be done and fixed. We need to be aware of it and we need to keep growing it. So where might one start? Is there something easy that they can do? Or I'm going to say simple, because easy, nothing is easy, but simple that they might be able to maybe build into a routine or something that they can do to help them take that first step down this path.
I'm going to comment about the first assumption that you've made, that people tend to know that they need to do some work in this area. I find that they don't. Here's a few examples. So leaders often get promoted because they're really good at the work that they do. They have engineering skills, they have project management skills, they have production skills, they have design skills. They're really good at it. They get promoted to leader. And there's a parallel with entrepreneurs as well. But let me just finish this first example. So they get promoted to leader and they're feeling initially quite confident. Yeah, my skills were recognized. But leading people is all about understanding oneself. It's not the skill anymore. They no longer have to do that work. They have to support people to do that work. And that's the people connection. So getting one's abilities to connect with people is the work. Similarly with entrepreneurs, I worked with a business owner who kept saying, they've hired a staff person. I said, why don't they think like me? Well, for one, as an entrepreneur, you wouldn't want your staff to think like you. Otherwise, they'd go off and form their own company.
Exactly. Yep.
But as the owner entrepreneur, you have to be able to develop people to that stage. Okay. So the basis is first agreeing or accepting that you've got some work to do in terms of how to deal with people, how to motivate and bring people along to where you need them to be to work well. So the beginning step, I would say, is being open to some self-awareness. Now, there's a free assessment online. I'd be happy to share that. However you get this message out, there's a simple free assessment. And it's just mind-blowing. At least that's how I found it, was, oh, to recognize those thought patterns. And then from there, then you can investigate a little bit more. But that initial awareness piece, that's what will kick a whole many steps of learning. So start with awareness, and an assessment's a great way to kind of trigger you into a new field of thinking.
I will definitely be asking you for the link to that assessment. We'll put it up on the show notes page of the website so folks can visit CanadianWealthSecrets.com. And under this episode, this is episode 70, so /episode 70, you will see Diane's show notes page, where you can contact Diane, some of the information that we're providing here, including this assessment link. So I think that'll be a great opportunity for people to get started on this journey. Before I ask our final question, which is where we can find you or where people can find you, I'm wondering, what would you say? I have a funny feeling I know the theme of what you're going to say, but when we talk about Canadian Wealth Secrets, your secret sauce in business, in wealth, in success in life, I'm wondering, what would you say is your Canadian Wealth secret sauce of today's episode and this interview?
Well, I've repeated it, but my secret sauce is around getting the internal conversation in a positive state so that the interaction with people is in a positive state where you want it to go. And then for me, what works for me is having a really, really clear sense of purpose. I've spent probably my whole life, I didn't realize it until recently, but I probably spent my whole life on this path of communication and getting that right. I have spent years practicing and failing and practicing some more and then learning and then helping others. And it really has been on this theme of helping people with communication. And the proof has been in that my own children are wonderful communicators and they connect from the heart. And many of my clients have said so and brought testimonials that you can see on my LinkedIn page. But that's what fuels me, period.
I love it. I love it. And something that I'm sure many of our listeners recognize when we called this podcast Canadian Wealth Secrets, the definition of wealth is for us so vast, right? Because again, wealth is not money. It's not assets necessarily that are monetary assets, but yet it's assets in life. And I feel like unless you have a solid understanding of your thinking, of your mindset, it's very difficult. You can have assets in all these other areas of your life, but if you don't have control of that asset, your brain, then I would argue, oh, you're not going to have that full, rich life that you're really after. So I think today's episode is going to certainly help many of us, you know, continue to work on that path so that we can truly reach that level of a true wealthy life.
It's the asset we're born with, and it's the only one we take with us.
I love it. You are 100% correct. And I think that is such a great place to leave us. Where can the Canadian Wealth Secrets audience find out more about Diane Nelson and the work you're doing? I'm sure there'll be some people who are looking to connect.
Well, I'm quite active on LinkedIn. That's the kind of the primary place. I'm often posting and connecting with people there. So that's Diane Nelson. And my website is www.nelsonteam.com.
I love it. Diane, thank you so much for taking some time with us here today. It's been awesome. We're recording this on a Friday, so I'm wishing you the most wonderful Friday. And to those who are listening, you're probably listening on a Wednesday when these episodes drop. So enjoy that awesome listen. And hey, friends, let's start reflecting on those thoughts and let's make sure that we have full control of that mindset in our thinking. Thanks so much, Diane. Well, Canadian Wealth Secret Seekers, what a great conversation with Diane. I definitely felt when I met with Diane the first time that she had so much to offer, so many great ideas. And ultimately, in my first conversation, I felt it again here in this interview. She just has a way, a calming way to get you to think a little bit more deeply about your own thoughts. I had two big takeaways from this conversation with Diane. The first one is really trying to think about your thoughts and the emotion those thoughts are connected to, or that connect to that thought. And if we're able to sort of differentiate those two things, it can really help us to hold back from allowing that emotion to take over and maybe even cloud that initial thought in the first place, right? So that we can think clearly and follow through. The second one was just about how we can show up in conversations, how we can listen. And I felt like there were those three ideas, this idea of mindset clear, skill set, and match set are three things that I'm going to come back to a number of times in the near future for me to just reflect and practice. And I'm probably going to have to re-listen to this episode a couple of times just so that I can start building a habit of doing these things, especially when I'm trying to understand what people are saying. In conversations, we're constantly getting ready to say the next thing. And instead, what we want to be doing is we want to clear our minds so that we can ask questions without any opinions, as she had mentioned. And then we want to ensure and paraphrase what we think we heard so that we can truly understand what it is that someone is trying to communicate with us. So a lot of great skills here. I know today may not feel like this was a Canadian Wealth Secrets episode, but I want to tell you that one of the greatest ways, one of the greatest tools we have is our minds, right? It is our minds. It's how we think, how we feel. And it doesn't matter how much monetary wealth we accomplish or achieve, how many assets we grow, or even how successful we are in business or in our work. Really, it's all about how we think and feel and how we show up for others. So today we wanted to take an opportunity to build your wealth inside your mind so that you can better build wealth in other aspects of your life. So friends, if you haven't yet, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and leave us a rating and review.
be honest with that rating and review, but do know that we have been in the top 200 business podcasts for the past few weeks now, and we want to make sure we keep that momentum. So do us a huge favor and do that, as well as sharing the podcast with someone you think would enjoy it or appreciate it in the same way that you found the podcast yourself. You can always head over to CanadianWealthSecrets.com to find links to resources, our show notes, as well as the links that we'll be including in the show notes for Diane's episode here. That's episode 70. So you can head on over to CanadianWealthSecrets.com/episode 70 and learn more and follow some of those links, including the assessment that Diane's shared with us here today. And friends, we look forward to seeing you in the next episode. All right, Canadian Wealth Secret Seekers, keep on searching.
Just as a reminder, the content you heard here today is for informational purposes only. You should not construe any such information or other material as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice.
John Orr is a mortgage agent with Brix Mortgage, license number M23006803. Kyle Pierce is a licensed life and accident and sickness insurance agent and wealth management consultant with the PanCorp team. That includes corporate advisors and Pan Financial. Hey, Canadian Wealth Secret Seekers. I'm happy to tell you that it's working. What you ask? Well, we've been asking you to do us a huge solid and share the podcast in the same way it was shared with you, and it's working. We've been in the top 100 business podcasts on Apple Podcasts for over the past few weeks, and we're sticking. And that is all thanks to you. Thanks again, and if you haven't yet, leave a rating, a review, and keep on sharing.